If you're looking for exceptional auto service, head on down to Sullivan Tire. Family owned and operated, they've been serving New England for over 60 years. Their highly trained staff will give you a hand with any of your auto needs. Sullivan Tire offers brand name tires and parts at a price that can't be beat. They're always here to get you there. Sullivan Tire. Welcome back to the My Hockey Life podcast. My name is Brandon Hall. I'm joined by Jake Levin, who is here as a broadcaster from My Hockey Live and a correspondent for the Boston Globe high school section. Jake, welcome back.
Brandon, what's happening? We're about halfway through the gauntlet here that is the postseason.
Yeah, and it's been interesting. There have been a lot of upsets, as we've said. Taking a look at Twitter here, it's kind of a down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier throughout the playoffs here. It's been pretty unbelievable. There have been top seeds that have just fallen by the wayside. If you look at it in D3 South, the top three seeds are gone. In D2 South, the second and fourth seeds are gone. In the third and fourth seeds are gone. In D1 South, the first, second, and third are gone. In D2 North, the first and second are gone. In D1 North. And then the second is gone in D1 girls, and it was their first loss all season. And the second is gone in D2 girls. Such is life, as I said, in tournament play. That's where we're at right now.
As expected, expect the unexpected. The most stunning for me still is probably Hanover. I think falling to Ashland. And the more I think about it, though, Ashland is probably the best-kept secret in Eastern Mass. Their defenseman, Jackson Horning, he scored both of the goals for the Clockers last year. When we did some Ashland games last year in the tournament, both Rich McClone and myself can speak to this. Jackson Horning reminded us of a former Falmouth defenseman, Cam Toby, who was just so great in every zone and took games over. He came back to that Falmouth team a couple years ago after the tragedy, and that was Toby's breakout. So anyway, all this is a long way of saying Horning is the Toby, really, of Ashland, and he was the best player on the ice against Hanover, I guess, despite all the depth of options the Indians had and the know-how and the pedigree left over from last year's loss in the state final. It's a stunner, but I guess that you just need one great player to dethrone the champs, and Jackson Horning, he's the guy for Ashland, and I think it's about time he gets his credit.
Yeah, I think my big surprise is probably the loss by the Duxbury girls. They were, at one point, they were 19-0-2. They had six shutouts this season. They had some laughers, games where they were winning 16-5 and, 9-0 and that sort of thing. And then they faced Shrewsbury, and as we've seen a couple of times now in the last few years, Shrewsbury's got quite the hockey program they've developed out there, whether it's boys or girls. The Shrewsbury Colonials take down the Duxbury Dragons 3-2, and it was quite the surprise.
That's a surprise, too. So now we only have two unbeaten teams left in the entire state, one boys and one girls. The other girls team, Austin Prep, up in Division I. And now, of course, Canton in Division II South for the boys. They're the last of the unbeatens, and they play tonight against a very good Norwood team that is unbeaten in calendar year 2019.
Yeah, the Duxbury girls came into that as the number 2 seed, and they lost to the number 15 seed Shrewsbury team. And Shrewsbury, certainly nothing to, shake a stick at. They're 12-5-3. It's not like they were at the bottom of the bracket and they just qualified at, 10-10 or something like that. So, they play in a good league and they play good hockey and they have for a long time in that town. But I do want to talk, I want to go through each division sort of, and we're at a point where we're basically down to, say, the final 8 teams in each division. And we'll start with Division 1A, known as the Super 8. In our winner's bracket, these are teams that haven't lost yet. This is a double elimination tournament. So a single loss does not knock you out, except if you were the playing in those two play-in games. So we have in the winner's bracket, and these games will be played tomorrow night, Wednesday night, at Saugus Arena. We've got BC High versus Arlington and Pope Francis versus Hingham.
Well, it was all chalk, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't exciting. The fact that the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds all won. The only game that, I mean, even the Pope Francis variant game, that wound up being 6-2, there was some suspense there in the third period.
Yeah, that was a much closer game. Yeah, that was a much closer game than that. And Zavarian hit three posts, if memory serves correct.
Right, exactly. So all games were compelling. Marshfield had taken not only a 1-0 lead, but a 2-1 lead on BC High was stunning. And the thing with Marshfield is they could have made that even more of a game, but the injury bug, they lost Max Burham, perhaps for the tournament, Tim Doyle, perhaps for the tournament, and I'm drawing a blank. There was a third injured player who wound up coming back. Let's also not forget Jack Gady was a little dinged up, the goaltender, the outstanding goaltender for Marshfield. He took a puck off the noggin that, you know, I don't think affected his play at all. But when you're a team, when you're really any team going up against BC High in the depth that they have, you need all of your horses. And Marshfield, for as much as they don't have the guy, I mean, they have 10 players, 11 players now, I think, with 10 or more points. Once you take away a couple of them, it weakens you against the BC Highs of the world. And, you know, there's no such thing as a moral victory, certainly not in the Super 8. But the fact that Marshfield hung with the Eagles when I think a lot of people expected that to be a 4 or 5 goal laugher, that's a very encouraging sign for Marshfield. We'll see what happens tonight against Framingham, because I really don't think they're going to have Burham or Doyle. I don't know that. I haven't spoken with Dan Connolly, but just based on how the injuries looked. And they are going up against a Framingham team that you talk about a swing of emotions. They're down 2-0. They go up 3-2 after their freshman, Thomas Duane, got knocked to the sidewall, hit to the head. I don't know if he was concussed or not. He didn't return to the game, obviously. So they get the emotional lift there. They score 2 goals on a major power play, one by Mike Tersoni. Mikey Tersoni gives them the 3-2 lead, Framingham over Arlington. But then Arlington, they're deep as well. They come back and win it in OT. So a couple lead changes in that game. It's hard to say which team, Marshfield or Framingham, should feel better about themselves heading into tonight's game. And that's not to say either team should feel poorly, but sometimes it's about what you did in that last game and how it ended that determines how the next game's going to come about. And that was a deflating, deflating loss for Framingham. So I'm very interested to see what happens in that elimination game.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Marshfield to come back tonight in this game. Burham had 13 points. Doyle had 17 points. You know, those two guys were in the top five in scoring for them, despite the fact, you know, Paul Rourke played really, really well in that game against BC High. It's just hard to stand out when you've got, you know, the Kramer line and you've got Lakis and some of those others. I mean, they just keep coming in waves at BC High. And as impressed as I was by Paul Rourke's play, and of course, we've seen BC High play several times. We've seen Marshfield play several times. Matt Lakis was really impressive to me in that game on Sunday. He looked really, really good. He looked like he reached another. He was kind of stepping into that next stratosphere.
Sure,
you know, he didn't want to be. He's been overshadowed all year by Thomas Kramer, and with good reason. Thomas Kramer is probably the best player in the state right now, and you know that's without any kind of platitudes to say that he's probably the best player right now. But Matt Lakis looked really good and really comfortable in that second line, and that gives them what the Bruins had in 2011, where you've got a first-line center like Patrice Bergeron and a second-line center like David Krejci, and you're going to try and beat us on the third line because you're not going to beat us with your first two.
Sure. Lakis is maybe the best player on BC High that nobody really talks about. He's been there 4 years. He's been a varsity player for 4 years. He was on two BC High teams that just ran roughshod over everyone in the regular season, only for some postseason disappointment, and then he was on the team that finally broke through last year. So you want to talk about a guy that's been there, done that, even if it's not in a starring role per se up until this year, it's Matt Lakis. You need a guy like that if you're going to make another postseason run. You need that compliment so that you're not over-reliant on just one line like BC High has with the Kramers. And they're not reliant on the Kramers because they do have Lake is down on that second line, and then you talk about their depth of defense, but my goodness, between Milsaw and Carey and Terry and Logan, Donahue, Dragon, you know, I feel like I'm forgetting some names. I don't want to discredit anybody, but no, Lake, he's a winning player. You need a guy like that this time of year, and BC High is very fortunate to have him.
And, you know, they also had an embarrassment of riches in net, considering what they left last year with when you walk out of school or you walk out of the Garden holding that trophy last year. They've got Connor Flavin going into his senior year. They've got Chase Congdon going into his senior year. And they had Luke Garrity going into his senior year. Fast forward to this season, Luke Garrity has left. He's gone to play at St. Seb's. And Chase Congdon has walked right into that job and hasn't missed a beat.
No, and you know what? Flavin, he hasn't played as much as Congdon, but the two of them each had shutouts down in Falmouth in the Buddy Ferreira Classic. Flavin had the blanking against Falmouth in round one, and then Congdon shut out first Austin Prep, then Hingham in the second round. Austin Prep and Hingham, two, you know, very good goal-scoring teams, maybe not elite, but, you know, good offensive-minded teams. And Congdon, especially in that Hingham game, was just firing on all cylinders. And you know what, maybe he needed to face a little adversity against Marshfield to get back in that rhythm, get his confidence really going again, because I think he would have liked to have both of those goals back that he gave up against the Rams. There were goals from up top, really without a ton of traffic down low. There was a little bit. Those are kind of goals that he was stopping, you know, more often than not in the regular season, and he was great when it mattered most down the stretch. So I think Congdon is he's going to look like the goalie we saw in Falmouth for the rest of this Super 8 tournament, not that first period and a half against Marshfield.
Yeah, so a tough matchup for Arlington to have to play BC High at this point in the season. Moving on to the other matchup, Pope Francis versus Hingham. Our first time seeing my first time seeing Pope Francis was Sunday. And, you know, having seen Mac Demers 2 years ago, as a sophomore at the Super 8, very impressed. Again, another 30-plus point season for him, 38 points and counting at this point. And Max Cochi, his line mate, with 32. And then John Tavella, ho-hum, had a hat trick. One eventually called, I think we reversed the call there on our My Hockey
yes.
Live score sheet. But, you know, and then Tavella has 28 plus now. I think he's over 30 at this point.
He's over 30 now.
Considering
that whole top line's combined for over 100 points. That's one way to go on a deep postseason run.
Right. And then on top of that, you've got Ben Zarinak in net with a 148 goals against average, a 924 save percentage, and he's a sophomore. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, he's given up 18 goals all season. He's a sophomore, and he's led Pope Francis to this point as arguably the number two team in the state.
Pope Francis and Hingham is a very compelling matchup. I mean, so is BC High Arlington, for that matter. But Pope Francis Hingham, they played in the regular season on February the 2nd, day before the Super Bowl. It was essentially a 3-2 game. Pope got the empty netter late to seal it. Hingham scored 22 seconds into the game. They had the lead on the Cardinals. Then they tie it up. They go down 2-1. They actually tie it up to make it 2-2. So there was no quitting that Hingham team after facing some adversity. Ultimately, they do lose that game. Whereas BC High Arlington, when they first met, and granted, this might as well be 10 years ago, but they did meet in December, 7-0 BC High. I'm fairly confident it's not going to be 7-0 for either side this time around in that game. Arlington's power play is so leaps and bounds better than every other team's in the tournament. I mean, they scored 3 other goals on the power play against Framingham. Whether it's Missouri or Brendan Jones, that's Anthony Missouri, John's son, or Brendan Jones at the point, those two forwards, their slap shots are their next level stuff, which is a way of saying, you know, those feel like college hockey players down the line. But in the sake of the here and now, Arlington's power play, that's the biggest wild card in that game. You know, is BC High favored? Sure. But not by such a margin that it would be surprising if Arlington won. And if Arlington gets, say, 4 power play opportunities, that's probably 2 goals at least right there. So I wouldn't go crowning BC High to the winner's bracket final just yet, because I love that Arlington power play. Back to Hingham Pope Francis, different rink dimensions this time at Songus. There's going to be, a better playing surface this time around rather than the one at Pilgrim Arena. I don't think that affects one team, for better or for worse. I'm just saying it's going to be a cleaner game this time with, you know, glass that you know is sturdier, boards that you know are a little more true, in the bigger rink as Pilgrim's a little smaller. And we'll see if Hingham can, you know, try to crack down on Pope Francis' speed on this bigger rink. I'm a little interested for that matchup.
Yeah, and I would say as far as the speed is concerned, the bigger rink definitely favors Pope Francis, considering, you know, you think about what it takes to be a big team like Hingham is, and playing a small rink, you can kind of beat people up. You can box them in and beat them up a little bit. It's going to be a little harder to do that at Songus. That said, Hingham has some really high-end superstar talent. You know, whether it's, you know, player of the pod, Will Kenny. You know, he's kind of been this year's Tommy Dugan for me. You know, favorite player to watch. Will Kenny, 11 goals, 24 assists, 35 points, and Jake Higgins, 7 goals, 22 assists, 29 points. On the back end, those two guys, you know,
he's got more than that now, Higgins. Yeah. He's up over 30.
Yeah, and you know, those are our our My Hockey Live regular season stats that you know are impressive nonetheless. That, you know, in their 20 game seasons, and Jacob Clark with 31 points, you know, and these guys just kind of keep on rolling over the boards like BC High, with the exception that they're a public school. And you get sophomore Trevor O'Brien with 25 points. They're as good, you know, they deserve to be in that conversation. They are probably, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know.
Well, I think there's a reason they've been the consensus number three team all season long, in that they're the best public school, and on any given night, they could beat BC High or Pope Francis. I think in a seven-game series, those things would sort of even themselves out, but over one game, that's all this tournament is. It's about one game. Hingham could absolutely beat a Pope Francis or a BC High if everybody comes to play.
So two teams we haven't talked about is the second game in the one-loss bracket, and that's Xaverian versus Austin Prep. The Xaverian Hawks come in having lost their most recent game against Pope Francis. And in that game, it was a 6-2 final, but it didn't feel like a 6-2 final, as we said earlier on. They did a good job of shutting down Matty Ryan, of Ryan Pompicelli, and shutting down Josh Barton. And I'm not sure if that was in part because the lines had been split up a little bit. You know, Dave Spinelli had cut those guys up a little bit, and, you know, they returned them together on the power play. It'd be interesting to see if they're reunited for this next game.
They barely shut down Matty Ryan. He had two chances that Pope Francis was lucky he didn't score on, particularly the second one. It was probably the save of the tournament so far. Ben Zaranek on a loose puck.
Yeah.
Just threw up his glove. Ryan had him dead to rights. Zaranek threw the glove up, and hey, look what I found. That was pretty much that. And at the time, I believe there was no score in that game. So that could have changed things around. It may have been 1-0 Pope Francis, I kind of forget. But either way, Matty Ryan, you know, they contained him in a sense, but they really didn't slow him down. And I think he's due to go off big time in this game against Austin Prep. That said, you know, Austin Prep coming into the Hingham game, giving up 21 goals on the season. They gave up 3 to Hingham. Are we sure they're going to give up more than 1 in this next game out? I've said it before on this podcast. I think Robbie Farrell is the best goaltender in the state. And it was a timing issue, I think, against Hingham. You give up a goal 43 seconds into regulation and then 4 seconds left in the second period. I think those are circumstances that go beyond just the goaltender. Credit to Hingham, certainly. But, you know, it takes a lot for goals to be scored in those situations. I wouldn't want to have to face Robbie Farrell in an elimination game coming off a performance where he gave up 3 goals, maybe only one of which was really his fault.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I think Xaverian's got their work cut out for them. And moving on to the D1 bracket, the regular D1 bracket, the North Semi, we've got St. John's Prep against Andover. We've got Bill Ricca versus Winchester. And in the South Semi, we've got a couple of powerhouses. We've got Duxbury versus Barnstable, CM versus Franklin. I want to start in the South here because I feel like these are, for me, the more intriguing matchups. How do you see Duxbury matching up with Barnstable?
I just love Duxbury just because so often we see a team lose the play-in game in the Super 8 and they kind of mail it in. They pack it in. Duxbury comes out and they not only win, they get the shutout against Wellesley. So not that I expected a John Blake team to quit, not by a long shot, but now we know that they have unfinished business. I think they know that they left some points on the table in Falmouth that could have gotten them into the top six of the Super 8 rather than that play-in game. So I think they already know that they have nobody to blame but themselves for the situation they found themselves in, and they want to atone it. They've already beaten Barnstable in the regular season. It was 2-1. These teams play almost every season. Barnstable, on the other hand, you know, they have a one-goal lead twice on Braintree. Braintree ties it up twice, and Barnstable finally takes the lead, and they hang on to win, throw on the empty netter. That's going to be a phenomenal game tomorrow night. I kind of wish I could be there. I'm going to be up north at the Super 8 games. It's really a contrast in styles, too. I think Barnstable is much – they're a faster-paced team. They like to get the puck up and down the ice. Duxbury defense first with their two great goaltenders in Steve Pisani and Nate Romanelli. I'll be interested to see who gets the start tomorrow night. And, yeah, that, Brandon, like you said, that's going to be an awesome one. Franklin CM is also intriguing because CM, granted, they didn't lose a play-in game this year, but usually, you know, when you think CM, you think Super 8 in the Division 1 tournament.
Right.
You know, they haven't made noise in the Division 1 tournament since before the Super 8 even existed. So now they're in the semifinal, and I thought CM may have deserved a crack at that play-in game, but that's neither here nor there. They're a dangerous team right now because I think they are flying under the radar. And when you're talking about CM under the radar, that's not good for whoever's standing in their path. But again, Franklin, you know, they've won two games despite being 500 entering the tournament. They just came off an emotional Hockomock League rivalry win over Mansfield. They beat Falmouth 1-0. So Franklin's already won two games by one goal. I have no idea who to pick in either of these games down south, other than that I think the first to one is probably going to win in the Franklin CM game.
Yeah, no question about that. And then you move up to the north, you get St. John's Prep versus Andover and Billerica versus Winchester.
Billerica Winchester is interesting. They were two teams that were on the Super 8 watch list. They were generating some noise over the course of the regular season. Both kind of faltered a little bit in February, didn't win some games that they needed to get into that, you know, the play-in game, if nothing else. And now here they are. They've outlasted other teams that I think drew some more publicity, I guess, whether that's Burlington in the case of Winchester, you know, battling against them in the Middlesex League, and then Billerica, you know, Reading. Well, I guess Reading is another Middlesex League team that to counter with. So these are two teams that they have storied histories, but haven't necessarily been in this situation in a while. So that's going to be a fun one. Then on the other side of the bracket, Andover and St. John's Prep, two teams that definitely feel like they had done enough to get a Super 8 playing game. I know Andover, in particular, in the midst of one of their best stretches in program history. St. John's Prep, you know, they won the Super 8 2015, and they've been there the years that followed. They're red hot right now. They've won five in a row. Andover, a little up and down at the end of the regular season, but they're still standing after their win over Burlington. I think that's going to be a very fun game and a game that could have a little more scoring than we're used to.
All right, then we move down to D2. In the D2 South semis, it's three teams that have been there basically, it seems like, every year for the last 10 years. We've got Canton versus Norwood, and then we've got Medfield versus Westwood. And it feels like Canton, Medfield, and Westwood have basically just kind of run this tournament, and it's sort of, we'll see you in the semis, and who's going to be the third team in? Last year it was Plymouth South. This year it's Norwood.
Norwood, one of the best stories in the state. 3 years ago, there were seniors, then freshmen, on this Norwood team that did not win a single game in the regular season. They were 0-19-1. Now, you can say all you want about how that was the Bay State Conference, and now they're in the Tri-Valley League. It's different. Well, the Tri-Valley League has five teams still standing between the Division II and Division III tournament. And the Bay State Conference, all they have left is Framingham up in the Super 8. So, again, I'm not saying one league's better than the other. I'm not saying you have to draw any conclusions in that way. I'm saying that Norwood, for what it is now, is clearly, you know, a Tri-Valley League school. They're in the Tri-Valley League, but they're the same size as Medfield, Westwood, and Hopkinton and, you know, Ashland and these schools now, they're not, it's unfair to expect them to compete with these 2,000 student enrollments like Framingham and Weymouth and Brookline and New North Half. That's true of all sports, not just hockey. I think Norwood hockey is in a better place than several of those programs, Framingham, obviously, notwithstanding right now. So Norwood, now they're two wins away from the Garden, and that's a credit to Chuck Allen, who came in from day one and just sort of reset everything with Norwood, and they missed the postseason by 1 point his first year. They made it last year, the Sullivan Rule, wound up winning a game. And now here they are. They've won their first two tournament games by a single goal, but they're going up against Canton, which hasn't lost all season long. Tied Boston Latin, which is one of the best teams in the state that, again, nobody's really talking about. I think I'll put it this way. If Norwood beats Canton tonight, I think they're going to win the state championship. Really tall task to beat Canton the way they're going right now. They feel snubbed by the Super 8 committee. I think rightfully so. I think they deserve to play in. Canton, again, they're just rolling, but that is to diminish nothing that Norwood has accomplished this their first full year in the Tri-Valley League. And then Westwood-Medfield, you know, one of the best rivalries in the state, in the Tri-Valley League large. Winner of that game, they're going to have their hands full, whether it's Canton or Norwood at this point. Norwood has handled Westwood and Medfield, whether they've tied or beaten them. This season, they've played them each twice, and it's been, you know, 1-0-1 with each. I still think Canton, out of the Hockomock League, is the team to beat in the D2 South. I think they're the team to beat in the state. And I kind of want that Canton-Boston Latin rematch in the state final because Boston Latin was the only team to not lose to Canton in the regular season. They did tie them. But, you know, I can't say I'll be surprised if Chuck Allen finds a way to get Norwood out of this game tonight.
Boy, it would be a tall task, as you said. Only 1 point has been taken the entire season off of Canton, and it was by Boston Latin. I want to talk about Boston Latin versus Triton. Now, what Boston Latin has done over the last few years under Frank Woods has been pretty impressive. They've become a state powerhouse. They're in and out, year in and year out. They are in this sort of Final Four, Final Six mix of teams. Talk about, so we know about Boston Latin. We know how strong they are. Talk a little bit about Triton.
We don't know much about Triton. I think they're a pretty well-kept secret up practically in New Hampshire on that border. The Cape Ann League, I do know, is a little bit underrated. Masconomet was right on the Super 8 bubble for a little bit this year, even as a Division II school. And Newburyport, they've been on the Super 8 watch list in years past. Down a tick this year, but the Cape Ann League has produced some very good hockey. Linfield is another really good team up there. They tied Westwood in the regular season. A Westwood team that only lost one game. Just back to them for a second. They tied six, but they only lost one. That was to Canton. So the Cape Ann League has produced some very good hockey this year, and Triton is one of these teams that I think is going to be battle-tested going into this matchup with Boston Latin.
Yeah, and if they are able to get through Boston Latin, they will have beaten Masco and Boston Latin in their side of the bracket, only to have to face Tewksbury or Danvers in the final of the North bracket. Just a real murderer's row of teams to have to go through in the North this year. And that's despite the fact that Lincoln Sudbury lost early on.
Tewksbury beat Lincoln Sudbury. That stunned a lot of people. Myself included, I was very high on Lincoln Sudbury and the job Matt Carlin had done in his first year as coach there. You know, Lincoln Sudbury, three coaches in 3 years, four coaches in the last six. All they really do is keep winning. And now they finally have some stability, I think, with Matt Carlin. They'll be back. But Tewksbury, I mean, Danvers is quite a story itself. You know, Danvers loses to Peabody in the regular season, gives Peabody its first win in the regular season in 2 years. And now here they are, two wins away from the TD Garden. So, which Danvers team shows up? I have to think it's the team that looks like it's two wins away from the TD Garden. They've figured some things out.
Right, and you think on the other side there, what's happening in Tewksbury right now for hockey? It's sort of a resurgence in the same way that Shrewsbury is having a hockey resurgence, and you know, they're kind of an unbeatable town right now. The Tewksbury boys and the Tewksbury girls have had quite the season this year.
Yeah, the Tewksbury, it's a co-op with Methuen and Sarah Otteri. I really hope I'm not mispronouncing her last name. She's had them in the conversation, Tewksbury, Methuen, the girls' co-op, in the discussion as the best teams in the state for years now since she took over. one of the best coaching jobs in the state, really at any school, to have a co-op team that competitive. That's credit to the coach. And she deserves all the credit in the world for making that happen.
So now let's go down to D3. In the North Semi, you've got Newton South, who's frequently played on My Hockey Live this season, versus Drake at Tingsboro. And then we've got Lowell versus Lynn. In the South Semi, we've got Ashland versus Bourne, Coyle versus Hopkinton. And that South Semi has been, or that South bracket has been the bracket of upsets. Anyone that had this bracket going forward needs to fill one out for the NCAA right now and share it with me.
Yeah, a semifinal without Hanover or Norwell or Rockland.
Or North Quincy.
What's going on?
North Quincy was one of the top teams in Division III all season. Another. Yeah.
Sure. I feel like Bourne and or Ashland is the team to beat right now because we talked about it atop the podcast here. Ashland has Jackson Horning, who's the best player nobody's talking about. And Bourne has four players who have collected their 100th career points collectively this season between the Hess brothers, Lapworth, and Mulkern. That kind of depth, that kind of camaraderie playing together over four seasons. Bourne lost to Hanover in the regular season, so I think, I don't want to say they're breathing a sigh of relief, but I think maybe they are. I don't know. Just, you know, they know the opportunity that's before them now that they won't have to go back through Hanover. They know, okay, things are really falling in line for us.
Yeah, on top of that, they get to play all their home games. All their tournament games are home games. I mean, at Gallo, they play every game. They play all their home games at Gallo, and then they get to play all their tournament games at Gallo. There's something to be said about that too.
That is incredible. So that I'm said, really that said, the looking Canalmen, forward to that Bourne
yeah,
game.
Yeah, that said, the Canalmen are good. It's not, you know, they're not going to get any, just because they're playing in their home rink, they're not going to, you know, go out and get any favors here. They were 11-1 in the South Coast League, 16-5-1 overall. They gave up just 43 goals this season. So, you know, in 22 games. So this is a team that's a good team. It's not like there's any, they're not being gifted anything. You know, Chase Lapworth at 31 points this season, Joe Hess with 34, and Max Hess with 43. You know, another one of these kids that were, where's he been all season long? How come nobody's talking about X? You know, how come nobody's talking about Max Hess? How come nobody's talking about the kid from Ashland? You know, there's so many good hockey players out there and just not enough time, unfortunately.
It's going to be very hard for the staff members of both the Boston Herald and Boston Globe to whittle down their Scholastic and Dream Teams with all the talent in Division III that just nobody really hears quite as much about. But
it's going to take some selling by some coaches.
It's going to be fun watching some of these players get their chance to shine over the final couple weeks here.
Yeah, it's going to take some selling by some coaches. Some coaches are going to have to call those newspapers and say, hey, listen, Jim, Jim Clark of the Herald, like, hey, Jim, I know you got a tough job to do, but you got to know about this kid. I got to tell you more about him and what kind of person he is and what kind of student he is. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we used to try and push. You know, yeah, he had 43 points this season. It's incredible. But he's also in the National Honor Society, and he's, you know, he helps his grandmother cross the street every day to get her newspaper. You know, all of that stuff goes into it, too. In the North, we've got Newton South versus Drake at Tingsboro and Lowell versus Lynn.
Well, Newton South has another player that I think has flown a little under the radar, Johnny Baker. He's outstanding. I was able to catch a Newton South Lowell game earlier this season, and Johnny Baker, he was the home wrecker. He scored the go-ahead goal with about a minute 14. I might have the exact second off, but basically he scored the game winner with less than 2 minutes left. So Johnny Baker is certainly the kind of player that can take over a tournament game like this for Newton South. He's got well over 20 goals on the season. I'm trying to pull up his exact numbers just because I don't want to do him a disservice. And then Lowell is also another very deep team in that dual county Merrimack Valley tier three. So Johnny Baker, okay, 27 goals. How's that sound? Yeah.
Goodness.
Average more than a goal a game. So, yeah, he's a factor. And he's just another one of these players that, you know, tough decisions are going to have to be made when you're making these postseason all-star teams in, you know, et cetera, the Shriners game and your All-Scholastics and all that jazz. So Johnny Baker's the kind of player who can lift a team on his back and take a team to the Garden.
Yeah, and then they have to go through Lowell, who ho-hum has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids who were point-a-game players. You got Owen Goulette with 22 points, Thomas Hassett with 35 points, Ben Asselin with 25 points, Brendan DeMarco with 37, and Sean Spring with 20. So ho-hum, you just got to, you get through that first game in the semi and you go to the final of the North and you got to face Lowell or, you got to face Lynn, who unfortunately I don't know a ton about. The Lynn Jets come in at 13-4-4 overall, 5-2-3 in the Northeast Conference. No stats available there for them on My Hockey Live, but certainly they deserve to be here where they are, given who they
certainly
play. Yeah,
certainly Northeast Conference tough league, and Lynn's interesting because it's Lynn Classical, Lynn English, and Lynn Tech,
and St. Mary's too. You got up there. Pulling the talent away.
Yep, exactly. So it's an impressive job year in, year out that Lynn is able to be in this position.
Yeah, so that kind of wraps things up for what we're going to talk about today in our sort of midpoint tournament tournament break here. We've got a lot of hockey left on My Hockey Live and the NFHS Network, so do stick around and check that out. We will be back for a state championship preview prior to the state championship the week of, I guess that'll be in about 10 days from now. We'll do that state championship preview. Until then, Jake, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Not really. Gallo tonight, Songus tomorrow, wherever else the wind takes me the rest of the week. Can't wait.
Excellent. We've got great Super 8 action coming up on My Hockey Live tomorrow. We've got some great D1 and D2 games coming up. So stick with that, and then I think at some point here we're going to have to put together an MHL Team of the Year, Players of the Year for us by position or by division. I don't know what we've got to do something because I think we've entered that stratosphere now.
I think so. Yeah, we'll talk.
All right.
We'll figure something out.
That sounds good. All right. So check back here in about 10 days, the My Hockey Live podcast. Until then, enjoy the games.